The following program is produced in a timeshare agreement with Civic Media. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect those of Civic Media. Enjoy.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
This is the Wausau Business Show. And now, here are your cow tipping, ice fishing, polka dancing, beer brock frying, cheese curd loving hosts, Ryan and Paul.
Once I rose above the noise and confusion, just to get a glimpse beyond this illusion. I was soaring ever higher. I still was a blind man. Though my mind could think, I still was a madman. I hear the voices when I'm dreaming. I can hear them say,
carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Good morning, Wausaunian.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Wausau Business Show. I am Ryan.
And I am Paul.
And this is episode number 21 of the Wausau Business Show. Who do we got coming up on the show this week, Paul?
We have Antonio Centeno, very interesting guy, fashion designer. He deals with men's fashion. He's a Cornell University graduate, got his MBA from the University of Texas Austin, has a ton of followers. One channel alone has 3.5 million followers.
And he's a Wausaunian area resident. He's lived here for a number of years. And you'd never guess how successful this guy is globally.
Very, very well connected. 50 million total followers across social media. It's unbelievable.
You can check him out at Real Men Real Style. He's got 3.5 million followers on YouTube alone.
Yeah,
and he's
crazy.
Got like prizes from YouTube because of how many followers he has.
Right.
A cool Wausau area business that we're going to dig into. It's about men's fashion. So if you know somebody that's like not fashionable, he can help us out today.
Yeah, listen up.
But we've already done the interview. And I like to say, come for the fashion advice, stay for the life advice. This guy is like a motivational speaker. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, a lot to unpack there with him. Antonio coming up.
After you talk to the guy, you're like, oh, okay, I can see why you have 3.5 million followers on YouTube.
Very compelling indeed.
Real Men Real Style. If you look that up on YouTube, you can find him.
His name is Antonio Centeno, and he'll be coming up later this morning.
Or as I like to say, Antonio Centeno.
Get the accent right.
More dramatic.
Yeah, right.
He served in the U.S. military as a Marine for a number
US
of years.
Marine.
All over the world.
Iraq he spent some time in.
His wife is Ukrainian, and he's going to talk about that beautiful love story, if I must say.
Yeah, he's got family in Ukraine who have come to live with him since the war started. Very interesting.
An Ivy League graduate. Cornell's Ivy League, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm dumb.
He has started and runs multiple businesses we'll talk to him a little bit about.
Yeah, he's got a network of people that work for him all over the world that many people probably don't know about, but a cool business run in Wausau.
Very much so.
And we're giving away Ben Folds 5 tickets.
She's a breaking, I'm drowning slowly.
October 8th. Tuesday, October 8th. Sponsored by the Wausau Business Show and Rocket Industrial. Ben Folds is coming to the Grand Theater in downtown Wausau. We'll be talking about that and giving away tickets coming up on the Wausau Business Show. And Paul, did you ever go to High Roller Skating Center as a kid?
Of course I did. Iconic.
It's big. I think it's now a Quick Trip.
Yeah.
Which
I
we love.
It's been torn down. We love Quick Trip.
Remember how you used to get those flowers? Like you could go up to the DJ booth and order a flower and then somebody would come and get the flower and they'd announce, Paul, you have a flower waiting for you at the DJ booth. Come on up and get it.
Right. Well, that I was usually the giver, not the receiver.
All right, thank you. The pitcher, not the catcher.
Right. And you have to go up to the booth to find out who the flower was from, which is always entertaining and so suspenseful. I love it.
Yeah, so we want to bring that back as a Wausaunian tradition. And we're going to be talking about that next week on the Wausau Business Show.
Cool.
So stay tuned for that. All right, we got another 100% action-packed Wausau Business Show this week.
Our 21st. I can't wait.
So we'll be right back with Antonio Centeno.
Let's go.
Welcome. The crown. Oh, well, I guess we're gonna find out. Let's see how far we've come. Let's see how far we've come. Well, I believe it all is coming to an end. Oh, well, I guess we're gonna pretend. Let's see how far we've come. Let's see how far we've come.
Broadcasting with 1.21 gigawatts of Wausaunian power for Wausau.
Velocity 0.21 gigawatts.
This is the one and only Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
I'll be back in time. Hi, this is Mark Craig. Come visit Compass Properties 3rd Street Lifestyle Center. Support locally owned businesses in downtown Wausau. The Pinery, the Chocolate Cafe, Forward Beverage, Polito's Pizza, Lemongrass, Chow, Jimmy John's, Isaac's, Magnolia Soap and Bath, Modern Gents, Campbell Haynes Menswear, Tanya's Bridal, Asian Massage, Reflexology Center, and listen to 98.9 Bull Falls Radio. Shop local at the 3rd Street Lifestyle Center in beautiful downtown Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
What happens when you bank locally? At Incredible Bank, it means your deposits help us invest in your community. Your deposit dollars provide us with the resources to support the local economy and help spark dreams of growth for businesses like your favorite mom and pop shop or your favorite locally owned restaurant. Banking local provides a return on investment you can see every day in the form of a better, more vibrant community. How incredible is that? So, bank local. Bank Incredible. Incredible Bank. Member FDIC.
Let's get down to business.
It's the Wausau Business Show.
Dedicated to Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
260 for my. I'm a model, you know what I mean. And I do my little turn on the catwalk. Yeah, on the catwalk. Yeah, on the catwalk, yeah, I shake my little dish on the catwalk. I'm too sexy for my cat, too sexy for my cat, for pussy cat. I'm too sexy for my love, too sexy for my love, love's going to leave me. And I'm too sexy.
This is the Wausau Business Show, and right now in the studio, we have none other than Antonio Centeno. Welcome, Antonio.
3.5 million YouTube followers. Welcome to the Wausau Business Show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
How long have you lived in the area?
I moved here in 2007, and right. I've got 7 kids. 5 are mine. I have my 2 nephews in from Ukraine after the war started 2 years ago, so I count them as mine. But yeah, everything we do with those kids is pretty much here. I mean, they go to school in Wittenberg, but the School of Ballet, we're coming to Wausau all the time and do all our shopping here.
Central Wisconsin School of Ballet. And yep. You have 3.5 million followers on YouTube. That's incredible. When did that start?
Back, 2011 is when I started put my first video up. And 2012 is when I started taking it a little bit more serious. But yeah, we've got that main channel. We also have a fragrance channel with almost 100,000 subs. We have a Russian channel with like 500,000 subs. We have a Spanish channel with over 100,000 subs.
Influential Media, an ad network for influencers with 55 million monthly views in that network.
Yeah.
And you manage that?
I'm one of the owners. So thankfully, I am one of the silent owners, which is a great system. If you ever get into business, one of the things I recommend is find a business that runs without you and you've got good partners and they just send you a check. I love it.
Passive income.
That's exactly.
Perfect. Yeah. That's
obviously, this is your full-time job. When did it become your full-time job?
It was pretty early. So back in 2007, when I moved the area, I had the idea of starting an online custom clothier. And in 2007, you got to take a step back. YouTube, nobody knew about it. Even blogging at the time that, you know, it wasn't called content creation. This was pretty new. So we started creating content online. I partnered with a blog called The Art of Manliness, my buddy Brett McKay. And that sent a lot of traffic over to our, and I basically, I think it was in business school at the University of Texas. And I'd read how Mark Cuban had bought a jet online. I'm like, you know, if he's willing to buy a jet online, will people be willing to buy clothing, specifically suits? Uh-huh. And I had traveled abroad. I had been in the United States Marine Corps. And when I was traveling, I had seen the power of getting custom clothing through my uniform and also working with traveling tailors out of Bangkok and Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. So I started an online custom clothier in 2007. And the idea was to create content, have people end up at my website and then buy suits. Unfortunately, they didn't buy enough suits and that company went out of business. I did not do very well with that business. In fact, we went through a bankruptcy, but I was able to emerge out of that in 2011, 2012, understanding I can get people to pay attention to me online.
Yeah.
And that was having written 200 to 300 articles, which was a lot of work because I was trying to run the Clothier at the same time.
Yeah.
I would wake up at 5, write articles, study through books, learn about men's style. And then I would start my job that paid me money at 9 a.m.
And what was that?
You know, that was actually selling the clothing online.
Got it. Okay.
So we would work with leads that were coming in, but it didn't work out. You know, it was a very painful lesson, but I realized, hey, wait a minute, I can create this content online. My buddy Brett at The Art of Manliness explained he was making $500,000 a year just because traffic was coming to his website. And I'm like, well, I'm getting 1/5 the traffic he's getting to my website. So could I make $100,000? And this was a very high margin.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, well, that's a lot better than what I'm currently making, which was, we had, you know, 50,000, 100,000 coming every month, but we also had 50,000, 100,000 in expenses.
Yeah.
And that just wasn't working out for the bottom line.
Breaking even.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not what I got into business for.
Right.
So we shifted in 2011, 2012 to being more of a content creator. It wasn't called influencers at the time. I just simply knew I had an audience, and I had one of the first companies I worked with was a shoe company that sent me a pair of shoes, and it took me 4 months to do a review of that because they wanted me to, you know, I was just going to do it for free.
Right.
And then my buddy, Aaron Marino, he ran a YouTube channel called Alpha M. And we had been talking. He's like, hey, man, you just need to send an invoice for $3,000 and say, that's what I'm going to do this for.
Yeah.
And so I was really, really hesitant to do that.
Yeah.
And again, it took me 4 months to do the review because it was something we're doing part time. But as soon as I sent that invoice, because once the review went out, within an hour, he sent me an email, said, hey, I'm sending you another pair of shoes, which was not what I wanted because I thought I was done with that. So I sent him an invoice for $3,000 and just said, hey, well, this is what it's going to cost me to do it again.
Yeah.
And he paid that within 30 minutes. And I realized, wait a minute, like,
what's going on here?
I can get people to pay me a good amount of money to talk about something to an audience, and they're very happy to do it.
Yeah.
And so that was the start of Menfluential Media, which eventually Aaron and I and another gentleman, Terry, partnered with. So from the content creation, I've been able to create a group of companies. Mm-hmm. My main company is Roman Real Style, but I also own a grooming company called Vitaman. I own a fragrance company called Mission Fragrances. I own a media company called Menfluential Media, in which I have two other partners on that one.
Yeah. Where are they from?
They're over in Atlanta, Georgia and Philadelphia.
Okay.
So those two locations. And we meet up and we had a conference for a while, but we ended up shutting it down. It was one of those things we enjoyed doing it, but it was more of a party than a moneymaker.
So you have your own production studio in your house in the Wausau area here?
I have an office. Yeah. We have an office in Wittenberg. So I do try to keep that separation. Okay. A lot of people have learned working from home, it can consume you.
Yeah.
So I have 7 kids. I have, you know, well, 5 are mine, but my 2 nephews in from Ukraine since the war started. I have, you know, just a wife I like to spend time with. I've been with for over 20 years. So one way to maintain a strong relationship is to keep the business out of the house.
Yeah.
Were you at one point working out of your house?
I was. Okay. I was. And that was simply, you know, saving money. I was, my basement was the filming studio for the longest time. In fact, I remember I had to film at 5 o'clock in the morning because if I didn't film by 7, my kids were already up at 7 getting ready for school and the pipes, you could hear them all. So I had my 2-hour window to get the filming done.
That's when we do a lot of the work on the show here too.
Yeah, that's right.
It's funny how that works. So do you have any employees at this point?
I would say they're all contractors. So all the employees are my family within here in the United States. And that's a great, if anyone owns a small business, being able to hire your kids, that is an amazing, let's just say, legal tax way to be able to push things down, but also to teach them the skills that they're going to take on for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
My wife works in the business, but you know, it's more part-time. Mm-hmm. But my people are, I've got about 12 people all over the world. I have 2 Ukrainians, about 5 Filipinos. I have a gentleman over in Kenya. We have a guy over in the Czech Republic.
What are they all doing for you?
Well, specialty areas. Yeah. So the gentleman over, he's English. He's over in the Czech Republic. He manages my Vitaman company, my my grooming company. Okay. So he does all that. He's a
fulfillment and everything.
Yes. Well, the fulfillment is done here in the United States. Okay. We have a shipper out of Missouri that we work with that ships everything. But yeah, it's amazing what you can do. And we meet, you know, once a week. We have other minor meetings, but usually Tuesdays I'll meet with everyone on my team. Then I have individual meetings. So I have a content team that creates all all, like basically when I film the video in my office, and that's just me, I send the raw footage, I drop it onto Google Drive, and everyone on my team, we have systems in place. I have three video editors that at any one time can grab those raw videos, and then they start to edit. They have systems that they follow, and we've worked through them. We've, you know, it takes a while to get somebody up to speed, but within a couple months, I can have somebody trained up.
Because all of the content is branded Real Men Real Style, yes. And it's got a certain feel to it and everything else.
Yeah. We've got those, you know, rules. And so I have three video editors, one's in the Philippines, one's in Kenya, another one's actually over in India.
Wow.
And so all these people are contractors, and we've just worked together for years, and that's they get the job done. And
how many videos are you doing a week?
Videos a week on the main channel. We have also about three videos a week to go out on our fragrance channel. Those are shorts.
Okay.
So, you know, but although short videos can take a lot of time. Right. I know short creators that spend days, if not a full week, on a 45-second video.
Crazy. And so you're sending that stuff just in front, because we watched a number of your videos, really well produced, obviously. And you're just in front of a green screen when you're doing that?
No. I've got probably in Wittenberg, I have a very kind of nondescript, kind of hidden office. And I have five studios there in the office.
Wow.
It's about 3,000 square feet, open area.
Yeah.
And they're pretty close to each other, but I have a common studio, which people see a lot with the bookshelves and everything like that. I have a white studio in which there's just white. I don't think I've ever used a green screen. I really like having something real.
Yeah. So when you're in a closet, you're actually in that closet in your studio.
It's a studio closet. All of my clothing. All my clothing is kept there. Yes. So we do have that closet. We've got a shoe kind of closet.
Yeah, I saw
we
that.
We have a watch set up that we don't, you know, we take down and we put back
up. So that's not superimposed by the editor in India.
No, that's all real.
That's very cool.
Cool.
So you have all these millions of followers, 50 million in your network, 50 million plus in your network, 3.5 million plus in your personal network, and then on your personal channels. And then you have a network of people that you distribute content through, right?
Yeah.
That's how that works. I'm assuming you're in the high six figures doing all this, right? I mean, you're
bringing in a lot of money.
You're making a lot of money doing this, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a multi-million dollar business.
Yeah,
so, it's awesome.
Yeah.
But anyone in business knows that, yes, you can have millions of dollars going through your business, but it's about what you keep. So I'm always leaning towards finding ways to go into higher margin areas of the business. That's one area I do like fragrances. They're higher margin, but we also, info products have higher margin. Our videos actually have some of our lowest margins. Yeah. And the reason being is I do have three videographers. I do have a team manager. I have an overall editor creator. So
higher
costs. Just have team expenses that pop. So payroll is our biggest expense besides taxes.
Yeah. And I noticed in one of your videos in the background, you have one of those YouTube plaques.
Yep. We've got three silvers, a gold. Yeah. I probably won't get that diamond one because the thing is, growth of subscription has gone down a bit. Like, we were in early, and I'm always looking for the next thing. I mean, YouTube's been fun, but I really feel the future of the web is shifting, and it's not everyone, you know, TikTok has actually been around for a while. Like, I remember when they were Musical.ly, and TikTok is not, like, I think, you know, we'll know where it goes, but I think community online is big. So we've been creating school groups. It's another platform, and I've been really excited about the growth I'm seeing over on that platform.
Looking forward. I like that.
Do they just, the only other time I saw this, I mean, I try to be a modest person, but the only other time I saw one of those plaques from YouTube was in the studios. I happened to get a tour of 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
That's the only time I ever saw one of those.
You're in good company.
It's funny, he's the one you see, there's another one hidden behind it, because my wife got upset. Well, you know, with the war in Ukraine, with the Russian one is hidden behind the Spanish one. She's like, you can't show that anymore. I'm like, okay, babe. Like, the gold one actually is in a box and buried. Like, I feel so bad, because, like, we've got these great things.
Yeah.
But I just don't have time. I'm like, I don't want to put it in people's faces.
And what do they do? Just mail it to you when you get, what, a million
they
plus?
They do. I think, we've got another channel that just earned one, and I've got to request it, and it comes in. Yeah, it's kind of cool. My kids, we had a show and tell, and one of my kids,
we took
them to their class. So they're like, that's pretty cool.
Because
the kids, that is the interesting thing about being a YouTuber. Nobody knew what it was forever. And now all the kids seem to want to be YouTubers.
Yeah.
So the fact that I have a gold play button, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's like, you're cool with your kids' friends, which is like with my daughters at ballet. They're like, oh yeah, your dad's a YouTuber. YouTuber. That's like really cool.
He's a full-time yeah. YouTuber.
I'm like, and he's got a gold plaque and silver plaques. I'm like,
how many does that signify? Really
cool. Gold's a million. Okay. So at 10 million, there's another one. And I think at 50 million, there's another one.
That's very cool.
Very cool.
I noticed you're endorsed by Thursday Boots now. Yeah. You have a strategic partnership with them.
Almost a decade we've worked with Thursday Boots. So I know those guys. I mean, I know the founders. And that's what's really interesting. Why I love business is I get to work with all of these people doing exciting things. And you start talking with them when they start the company. One of my favorites, Carl Friedrich. I remember when they just started talking about their story. And now these guys have just opened up a store in London. And when you recognize skill, when you recognize quality product,
right,
and you're able to bring that to people's attention, it's really fulfilling whenever people write me back and say, you know what? I took a chance. I tried this company out based on your work and I absolutely love it. And they're a better deal than, you know, if I were to walk into a store and just buy something from an established producer.
What other brands are you partnered with?
I mean, we've worked with companies, you know, from Chevrolet to Cuts Clothing, Ministry of Supply, pretty much Suit Supply. I'm doing a deal with them. Yeah. So I'm going to be out in Chicago.
Yeah.
We'll film there. So mostly, obviously, I'm in the men's space, real men, real style RMRS. So most everything is geared towards men. Men's clothing, but we've worked with companies, you know, that deal with, you know, helping men with health issues. So men that are losing their hair, maybe have erectile dysfunction, we work with that type of companies as well, because that's my avatar and who I specialize in is men usually that are probably past the age of 25 to 30. These are professional men, maybe that are going through a transition in their lives. Mm-hmm. Perhaps their kids have left. Perhaps they've gone through a divorce. Perhaps they're getting married. Perhaps they just had their first child and this guy's woken up to the fact that he needs to present his best self. And I try to really make it simple for a guy to be able to dress better. And the way I equate it is to become the man he knows himself to be.
Yeah, I want to get into that.
Yeah.
So have you ever been to Fashion Week? You go to Fashion Week all the time or any of that kind of stuff?
No, I don't care about that, actually.
Paris and New York? Or you're not paying attention to any of that?
So what I focus in on is the practical guy.
Okay.
I mean, if we walk here, we look around in Wisconsin, I think the women here would say that the men don't care about style, but they do, especially hunting season. You notice how these guys will pay all this attention to the camo they're getting, to the gear, to the insulation, to the boots. You look at how, I mean, man talks about his rifle in this area.
Yeah.
It's like he's talking, I mean, he knows his rifle better than he knows his lover.
Yeah,
and this is really interesting to me. But here's the thing is this matters to him in going out to the field. And I try to help men understand that, hey, the way you present yourself, this has a huge effect on how others not only perceive you, but how you feel about yourself. So if you're going to be getting up in front of, let's say, you know, a big company, I don't, you know, I'm not super familiar with the whole outdoor world. I'm not a hunter. Yeah. You know, I love weapons. I was in the Marine
Corps. You're a Marine. Thank you for your service.
No problem. I had a great time. Yeah. But, you know, it's one of those things that I want him to be able to dress in a way that he presents his best self, whether it's a suit, whether it's casual clothing, whether it's laid back gear. And that's what I get excited about is teaching men how to be able to present an image that sends a message so that people instantly know who they are and what they're about without him not having to say a word. So we can walk into a room and if he's trying to get a loan for his up and coming company that, you know, I remember years ago, I worked for a company out in Wittenberg, Top Brass. That's where I started and where I came up for when I got my MBA at the University of Texas. And there was this entrepreneur that came in and he had this idea for these wipes that would actually smell like dirt. And it was so a guy could wipe down all of his gear before he went hunting and he could camouflage the scent.
Yeah, right.
And so if you've got an idea like this, I'd like to think that, well, you may have to go into a bank and you may have to ask for a loan, $25,000 or something like that.
Right.
And how do you dress in that situation?
Right.
I hope that that guy would find one of my videos and realize, okay, in this case, you probably don't want to wear your camo, or if you do, there's a reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you understand the message that you're going to send and the presentation you're going to give that banker so that you can get that loan to start that business, to start up your nonprofit, to be able to get accepted into that school, or to be able to get on your knees and propose to that woman that you love and to send, you know, they're going to be there with the photographer, you're setting it up, understanding that your clothing clothing and the way you dress creates that ambiance. And to help men understand and master that in a very simple and practical way, I think has been like the biggest goal of my channel.
Yeah, very cool. I mean, it's very purposeful, obviously. You know, your point of view on it all is, hey, if you have more confidence as a man, you're going to earn more money, you're going to be more successful, you're going to be happier, and you're going to have a better life.
Yeah, and it's not just a point of view. There's a great economist out of UT, his name's Hammermesh, and he wrote a book, Beauty Pays. And this is a different field. It's not like me, but it was clear evidence that when you dress the part, you're going to make more money. In fact, he identified, I think it was like $253,000 over your career on average you will earn if you look the part.
Yeah, and I saw on your website, 87% of first impressions are influenced by your attire.
Yeah.
But let's talk real quick. I want to go back because when you first started, you said, I had a failure. I got fired from my job and I didn't want to go and work for somebody else again. What happened there in your career?
You know, it was just something. It was a poor fit in a company. And I had...
Were you dressing the part back then, or is this something that you evolved into?
No, I think I was dressing the part. Probably, you know, that was a skill I had already picked up when I was in the military looking well. I was the CFO of the company.
Okay.
I shouldn't have been the CFO. I just graduated business school. I didn't really have any experience with it.
Right.
But, you know, what I learned in that experience is that I wanted to have a little bit more control of my own destiny. And I also realized, you know, my son was 3 years old. My wife had just moved to the United States from Ukraine. I just brought him over. And I realized, you know, a lot of people would say, oh, well, you need to have a job to be able to have insurance, to be able to have, all these benefits, all this stuff. But I realized, well, we're not going to have any less kids here in a couple of years.
Right.
In fact, I mean, we wanted to have more. So I better give it a shot now. You know, I just turned, I was like 30, 31 years old at the time. So I had better give I'd better try.
Cool.
And that's kind of the path I took, because it's not, I don't feel everyone, you know, we look for excuses why not to do something.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at that poster right up behind you, you know, no excuses.
Yeah.
I think Muhammad Ali talked about like that he actually hated training. Uh-huh. Like it, but what he loved was the result and how he felt afterwards and how he loved being a champion.
Yeah.
And nobody can take away, I think when you're kind of doing your own deal, nobody can take away from you like that you've gone out there and you've fought in the arena. You know, yes, people will criticize you if you fail, and there's a good chance you will.
Yeah.
But when you when you look at yourself in the mirror and you're proud of, hey, what I did, what I created, especially when you go out there and you make something that you're proud of.
Right.
I was telling you about these fragrances I put out.
Before we got on the air, yeah.
Yeah, I knew. So with my company, Mission Fragrances, this is something I haven't had as much success as I would have liked. I've only sold, you know, just 1,000 sets of these, which isn't where I want to be after 2 years. I wanted to have like 10,000 sets sold.
Yeah.
But still, you know, when you look at that, if you had 1,000 people in a room, I'm like, hey, all these guys are wearing my fragrances, are loving my fragrances. That's a start. And I know that I'm trying to do something unique in the space. In the fragrance world, most men don't even see the point of it. But I kind of equate it with you guys are wearing deodorant, right?
Yeah.
Hope so. Yeah. Most people here do. But that's like a football team that's playing only defense. Mm-hmm. If you understand that you can smell good and that people will notice you when you walk by, you'll turn heads. Whether you're a single guy and you want a woman to notice you, or you just simply want to be able to go into a room and for people to remember you and you to have a signature scent, that's playing offense with fragrance.
Right.
And as we know, like a team that's going to win the Super Bowl usually has a great offense and a great defense. And I think a guy that's going to succeed, if he understands that, hey, it's one of our core senses and you can't turn it off. You know, that woman that isn't wanting to pay attention to you because, you know, she's got a boyfriend, but you know she could do better. And, you know, it's like, whatever the point, you know, but for you to smell good, she's going to breathe and she's going to look up and say, man, this guy, like, she's going to notice you.
Hopefully
she's breathing. Yeah.
You want to date the ones that are breathing.
I like that line. Yeah. It's one of your core senses and you can't turn it off. So everyone's going to, that's
and
cool.
And in fact, it's the only one that's directly, doesn't go through the hippocampus, all the other, or what is it?
The frontal lobe?
It goes right to the frontal lobe.
Yeah.
So this one, because it goes through the nose and basically the olfactory system, is directly connected to the frontal lobe of the brain versus the other parts, like when it comes to touch and other senses that you have, they have to go through a relay system, but fragrance does not. And that's why people can have a visceral response to it.
And what makes your colognes here better than other colognes that are out there?
Nothing, actually, except for the fact that
you designed them, right?
I have formulated them in a way, and we have an entire course that goes with them.
Cool.
So this course teaches you how to wear them, and it teaches you how to condition yourself. I'm not a big fan of aromatherapy and that kind of stuff, but what I am a fan of is conditioning. And this is something that has been over 100 years, like coffee.
Yeah.
So when you smell coffee, your brain already starts, because you've associated the smell of coffee.
This is Pinery Coffee Company, coffee right here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're right down the way. And they are freaking amazing. I had one of their, I think, a mocha.
Yeah,
I have to admit, that was probably the best. The Pinery had the best mocha I have probably ever had.
Great Those guys, team down there.
Yeah, freaking amazing.
They roast their own beans. It's great.
Yeah. And so I was talking with, I think it was, is it Randy, the owner, or
Nolan?
Nolan. I knew it was one of those like rugged Texan names.
Yeah.
Randy and Nolan. Those two. Okay. But so Nolan, he was telling me like how they go through the process and everything like that. But when you walk into that place, the scent has an effect on you and you can't turn it off.
Right.
And in fact, certain smells, coffee wakes us up, but coffee also makes us and bread more receptive to other people. Okay. And there's this great study on how, when if you want to get a woman's phone number, talk to her at a coffee shop, talk to her next door, a bread store.
Fascinating.
Because it's going to double your chances of getting her phone number. Her defenses are just going to go down. She's more open. And when people understand how smelling good just all of a sudden makes people like you more, it makes you more memorable. All of a sudden, I think guys, when they're awoken to that fact, they're like, well, why am I not using this tool in my, why isn't this a tool in my arsenal?
Well, smelling good is better than smelling bad, generally speaking. So this is called Mission Fragrances?
Correct.
And is it connected to a mission of some kind or just a mission to live a better life?
Yeah, you know, my mission is to help men become the men they know themselves to be.
Yeah.
And you probably noticed that I think I threw a coin over there as well. Yeah, so the challenge coin is something that I picked up in the military. And anyone that knows challenge coins probably knows the history of how during World War II, downed pilots carried a particular coin, which they would challenge and they would be challenged by somebody in the resistance to be able to smuggle them out. The idea was this coin was an indicator that this person was not a German spy or that they, you know, you could trust this person.
Yeah.
So it comes out of the military and they've always presented challenge coins in all branches of the service.
Yeah.
I think law enforcement uses this. But what's great about these coins is you can carry them.
It's got some weight to it.
It does have some weight.
Yeah.
You notice the words on there, honor, courage, commitment.
Yeah, right.
And those words are the core values of the United States Marine Corps and the United States Navy. And that was what I built my fragrances on. Honor, courage, commitment. Those are our three fragrances. And the idea is if, you know, and I know you guys, you can't see it maybe here, but we have these so you can put these on your dresser drawer and you can read the words.
Yeah, Antonio brought us some fragrances.
Let me give one a try, shall I?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's smell it up.
All right.
Today,
I'm trying Honor right now. Yep. That's a summer fragrance you had told me.
It's our lightest fragrance. So it's going to have a base of musk, which is, you know, make you attractive to the ladies, but it's also going to have bergamot at the top. And bergamot is an Italian type of lemon. Basically, it gives it a bright freshness. And that's what's going to make this citruses in fragrances usually geared towards summer. But the musk is strong enough that you could actually wear this in the winter. You may have to apply a little bit more.
All right. Let's see what you got.
Coach me on how to spray this. Do I?
Just spray it directly on your chest. Okay. 2 inches away. Yeah.
Paul. That was 4 inches.
How many squirts did he do?
One's enough. You know, you can apply it
right away.
You can apply it later.
But he's getting it on his clothes. You should just get it on your skin, right?
It depends. That's always a great debate. You know, I've created videos on that. We have fun with it. I think it is fine for most people. Clothes are going to last a little bit longer. Skin is, in general, best once you get out of the shower. And the reason being because it heats up a little bit and it helps the fragrance. It isn't tied to your clothing. Because when you spray on the clothing, especially if maybe you don't wash it, you know, you're maybe wearing it just for a couple hours, you may find that it keeps the scent. So that's a problem sometimes on jackets or other items that you wear multiple times. But I like it on the skin because I do feel it. That it dissipates better and it lasts. It pushes it out a bit.
And that cologne, it's going to smell different on Paul's skin after a while, after 20 minutes or something, than it is on mine.
Slightly,
is it not?
Yes. Different chemistries and things like that. But it's relatively. relatively small.
Yeah, give me one, Paul.
Cool. Yeah, go ahead.
You've got your own, man.
What? Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
But I don't want to use that.
Ryan is trying to steal.
He's stealing my cologne, everyone.
I'm going to do a commitment. Wow, it's not just a sticker on there. It's a real emblem. That's where did you have this produced?
Down in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, that is cool.
And this is a Four Seasons one, right?
That one is going to be more of an evening heavier. That one's got a little bit of oud. So oud is a particular wood. Mm. That one's going to be a little deeper, richer. It's actually probably the hardest one to wear, but it is the sexiest one.
Ryan can pull it off.
Yeah, I'm going to squirt it on on my wrist here, underneath. That's another technique. You ever do that technique?
You could. Some people, like to spray it on a wrist and then they rub it.
Good.
Yeah.
I love it.
He's got good technique.
Yeah. But that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's great.
So first of all, thank God you got fired from your job as CFO and you were too young and naive. Where was that you got let go?
Wittenberg.
Oh, that was in Wittenberg.
Yeah, just right there in Wittenberg.
Oh, okay.
And so I'd already bought a house. I was like, well, I'm not leaving. So what's funny is I thought I would always go back to Texas.
Yeah.
I thought Wisconsin was just a temporary stop.
Yeah.
But, I have to say that we travel, we homeschool our kids.
Okay.
And the reason we do is because we call it world schooling. My wife's Ukrainian. Our kids speak three languages.
Wow.
We would go back to Ukraine until the war started, like every summer. Mm-hmm. We went and lived in London. We lived in Paris.
Wow.
Because the great thing about running your own show is you know the boss, and you can either make that boss a slave driver, or you can say, you know what, boss, I'm going to set this business up so I can travel the world and I don't always have to work.
Yeah.
And I've tried to lean towards, I sometimes fall towards the slave driver because I just like to work.
Yeah, you seem like a guy that likes to work.
I do.
Yeah.
But my wife loves to travel.
Yeah.
And so we would take the kids and we would just go live abroad. But when we were doing that, we realized that Wisconsin is a pretty nice place.
Yeah,
and it seems like the longer I stay here, the more I'm like, I hate the taxes when it comes to properties.
Yeah.
But besides that, if you could just get rid of these crazy high property taxes, it would be pretty much the perfect place.
Yeah, and you're from Midland. You were born and raised in Midland, Texas?
I was born in Oxnard, California.
Okay.
I would spend all my summers in Southern Cal, but I was raised pretty much in Midland, Texas. Midland, okay. Odessa, that area, small town outside of Midland called Greenwood. So I'd grown up in small towns, but I wasn't used to all this water, all these trees.
Yeah, cool.
And it's more desert out that way.
Yeah, because isn't G.W. Bush from Midland originally?
They claim him.
Okay.
He's kind of been around at a few, the Bushes were around a few different areas.
But yeah,
his dad, they had an oil company or a consulting business, I believe, out of Midland for a while.
Is that where his ranch is, G-Dubs?
No, his ranch is in Crawford.
Oh, Crawford.
Yeah, okay.
But
right.
His mom, she was from Midland, Texas,
okay.
And she did teach school there.
Oh, so, very cool. So this coin on the back of the coin, it says, character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, vision cleared, ambition inspired, and success achieved. And when you give this to me and Paul, are we supposed to keep this in our pocket every day, or
you can do whatever you want with it?
Okay.
So I some guys, I like to have a reminder of who I mean, let's face it, guys, life is tough. We're in a time now when information is being, it's like we see other people that seem to be living better lives than us, maybe, and if we're doing pretty good, then we've got maybe young girls or we've got, that are having body issues or we've got, guys that feel like they're not living up and they're lonely.
Yeah.
We've got maybe a wife that, is just wondering, she's trying to do it all, but finds that she can't and she's, feeling
overwhelmed,
overwhelmed with everything she's trying to do.
A lot of stress out there.
Yeah,
these
there
days.
Is. Yeah. And I love to remember our past and our history. Mm-hmm. And so this coin is, it's in a lot of the stuff that I bring into my fragrances and my businesses, it's become really hot nowadays, but stoicism. Mm. And one of the key tenets in stoicism is that life, a good life, is not meant to be easy. It is difficult. It is hard. And I think that there's a bit of comfort in that. And that's what I talk about in the back of that coin.
Builds character.
Is that this is what builds character.
Right.
I mean, if
yep.
someone were to give you a diamond, but it was not cut,
mm-hmm.
it was unshined,
mm.
you would probably not recognize it as a diamond.
Mm-hmm, right.
So what to create that diamond, not only did you have to have a lot of heat and pressure on that carbon to form the diamond,
right.
but that diamond has to then be cut and it has to be rubbed. And think about that. We get sometimes so upset when life rubs us the wrong way. But that's what life is doing. Life is shining us up like a diamond. Mm-hmm. And when you have that realization that that a good life needs to be hard, that a good life, like life is going to rub you, but it's just shining you so that, you know, on your deathbed, you know, you can look back and you can be brilliant. You can have had this impact on your area, on the people around you. All of a sudden, it gives you, I think it gives me a little bit more strength to be able to meet the hardship that is thrown at us every day.
I'm starting to understand why you have 3.5 million followers.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if I'm spouting anything, it's because, you know, I just simply have read the books and I've studied,
But to that point, not to interrupt, but you're a graduate of Cornell College and you got your MBA, just to reiterate that, from University of Texas at Austin. Where are your parents living and what do they do and what's their story? They must be real proud of you.
Yeah, you know, they are proud. I wish I had, you know, I think a lot of people can relate. Like, I wish I had a better relationship. And, you know, my mom and my dad, I think they grew up in a time period in which they had to work. My parents divorced pretty early.
Okay.
My dad ended up getting remarried, and it was something that he decided to go off with his new wife. And so we had cut relationships, or he cut off relationships pretty early.
To this day?
No, he's tried to come back. But
well, now that you're kind of famous. Well,
you know, I think it's just he's lonely.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just one of those things. But it's hard.
Is he a good dresser?
When you don't have, no, he's not that much that good.
You guys don't have much in common.
No, but, I think that sometimes you grow up with parents that aren't around, and you go out there and you find other examples of maybe who you would have wanted to be your dad, and
right.
who and
like
you
role models.
Those. Yeah, so yeah. You find these other role models, and for me, I was the kind of kid that I dove into books, I dove into reading, I dove into history. I had great coaches growing up. I think anyone that's a teacher or a coach listening, like those are just some of the biggest. I remember my coaches were gods to me. Coach Purser, Coach Canepa, Coach Rodney Falks. I remember these guys. As like they, and thank goodness that they were such a great influence on me. My mom, was more of, she had to work 2 to 3 jobs.
Wow.
And so she was not really around. She did make one of my track meets one time. But I think when you have parents that maybe aren't the examples that you would like to see, what's interesting about that, I think you can flip it and you can say, well, I really did want. So one thing I love, with my kids and with my business is I'm able to be at everything.
Yeah.
So when my daughters have a performance of the Nutcracker, I'm at every single performance. And not only that, I sneak in when they have the, because Mr. Patrick doesn't want us in there apparently, but I still sneak in there. I'm hiding out there because I want to watch my girls and I don't care.
Like, I love that.
Yeah, Patrick, whatever. Like, I'll say, I'll make more money and just donate it to you guys.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Look the other way.
Yeah.
Like, but the thing is that brings so much joy that I can be in it. It's partly for them, but it's also partly for myself because it just feels so good to be that dad that's the over-the-top one, taking them everywhere, embarrassing them, but slipping them 20, 30 bucks and doing that stuff that I wish my dad or my mom could have done for me.
Yeah. Do you have siblings? Powerful.
I do. I have some great ones.
And are you close to them?
I am. So I had 4 sisters. I've lost 2 sisters. And I have 2 brothers. And my 2 brothers are great. My brother was EOD in the Army, served for over 20 years. My older brother was my inspiration to join the Marine Corps.
Wow.
He served during the Gulf War. My dad actually was served in Vietnam, picked up a Bronze Star over in Vietnam. So, with your parents and with your, you start to, I found his commendations after I had left the Marine Corps. And I understand. And I think when you look at people, and I have no animosity towards anyone that, my parents, a lot of people are like, oh, do you wish they would have done this? It's like, if I would have lived their life, right. I probably would have made very similar decisions.
Yeah.
And who am I to judge them? Because I'm understanding God doesn't judge you till your last day.
Right.
So, it's like, I try to just look at it from their perspective. I do try to, and with my father, I wish I could. One of the things is he's just a flake as much as I love him. So I've gone to places to meet with him, with my son, and him not show up.
Yeah.
2 to 3 hours. And so I've chose not to expose my kids to that type of behavior.
Yeah.
And it's nothing against him. It's just simply, I don't want them to have to go through that.
Through that disappointment.
Yeah. But my siblings have been amazing. And so I've got my sister, Lindsay, and Lisa. I was just out in California, went to Legoland. And so nowadays, I try to spend as much time as I can with the family members that reflect back the love that we give. And those are the kind of people that, you can't choose your family, but you can choose choose, I think, where to give your energy and your love to those family members that reflect it back.
Very cool. So your brother was in with Norman Schwarzkopf during Desert Storm.
He was. Yeah.
And you were in Shock and Awe.
You were doing
the Shock and Awe one?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I was there in 2003 during.
Weapons of Mass Destruction.
So we were under Mattis. He went on to become Secretary of Defense underneath Trump. I was also under Jones, who was Secretary of Defense, and he was the Commandant at the time. He was Secretary of Defense under Obama.
Well, that's phenomenal. What an amazing story. And it's a blessing that you have this platform to not only talk about all the importance of dressing stylish, because that will lead to more confidence, more money, and a better life.
Trojan horse.
But
style.
Also,
Trojan like style.
You're obviously a motivational, like Tony Robbins type person, too.
What I care about is I feel that so many men out there, like, they need to know that there are other men out there that are rooting for them. They care about them. They're seen. They're not invisible.
Do you think that the relationship that you had with your father allows you to tell a better story on your platform?
It probably allows me to have empathy for those that grow up not having a father.
Or having the holes that you're plugging with your platform, or the lessons that you're teaching?
You know, it's tough to go through, you know, things, excuse my language, things in life.
FCC, but don't bother me.
Yeah. But when we go through, I think you can either use that to, you know, there was a great book, Anti-Fragile. I don't know if you guys have read. So there's resilience, which is great. There is those that are fragile. And so if you think of something fragile, it breaks whenever it drops or it's hit by something. Resilience, it bounces back whenever it's hit by something. But something that's anti-fragile becomes stronger whenever it is hit. And I like to think that if you approach these obstacles and these things that hit you in life, because we're all going to get hit at some point. We're going to lose
over and over and over and over again.
I'm always amazed at, like, I was talking with a woman the other day, and I didn't realize she had lost a child.
Yeah.
You know, at an early point, I'm like, holy cow, I can't even imagine. I have not gone through that. But then I realized my mom lost two daughters.
Yeah.
And so who am I to judge this woman? You know, that she maintains her distance to this day. She's like, she always sends her love, but my kids don't know her. Right. But it's one of those things that, you know what? Who am I to judge somebody that's gone through what she's gone through?
Right.
And so I think these setbacks, these things we go through in life, they just create empathy. And I think a deeper understanding that we need to lose our ego.
Right.
And we need to just look at those that are without, those that are maybe down on their luck, and stop judging them.
Right.
Yeah. And just do what we can in a small way to, create a better world.
Do you think that a lot of your audience is really there for the fashion, or are they there for your kind of messages?
Your great outlook on life, basically.
Right.
I have the guys that write me, the guys that I think stick around, they do come back, because we always keep things positive.
I
am happy to say I don't think I've never done a negative video, partly because I don't want to talk bad about anyone. That always opens up a lawsuit.
The other
one is that if there's enough negative crap out there, let's keep it positive.
Yeah.
Because again, I want my kids to find, I've got a 2-year-old and I've got a 20-year-old. So we have a range.
That's the range.
And I don't know what's going to happen to me on the drive back home today.
Yeah.
But if something were, I'd like to think my 2-year-old could find my videos and could piece together who her father was.
Yeah.
And that's the type of message, like the type of stuff that the legacy I want to leave.
Very cool. How did you meet your wife?
So I was in Ukraine, the Marine Corps. Not many people know that we guard embassies around the world.
Kevin Herbing told us about that. Yeah.
But what they may not know is we got the Marine House, and it's the party zone in any place. So you go to, if you're ever a Marine, you're traveling around, you know that there are Marines at the Marine House. They're probably going to throw a party, that there's a lot of really interesting people that show up. So I'm traveling around.
Good to know.
Yep. So I'm over in, and I was going to go out to Moscow, but my buddy's like, no, man, go to Kiev. Like, the Marine House is so much better. The guy's going to party up. Like, we know some people there and it's cheaper. So I went over there and I'm staying at I'm crashing on somebody's couch. This is back like 2000, before like couch surfing was a big deal.
Right.
You know, and I'd found this person on a forum, but I was, they're like, hey, like, let's go see a friend of a friend. And so we stop in and I see this woman and I'm just like, this is it. So if anyone's read the book, The Godfather, it's called The Lightning Bolt when it hit in the book. And same thing for me, it was the lightning
bolt. Wow. Yeah. Stevens talked about that.
And I wrote her a letter and I told her I'm going to marry her and I'm going to come back for her. Now, she had a boyfriend at the time, so she thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
But she was, you know, interested in who's this guy from another country that
that is dressed great and smells amazing.
Oh, I wasn't dressed great. Now, this is way before that.
Okay.
So basically, she took me on a tour I really confirmed that this is the one for me. So I then went back to the United States, and within 6 months, I'd booked my ticket back to Ukraine. So I took another month of leave off, and I spent a month with her, basically, you know, trying to court her and get her to, she did dump her boyfriend. And all of a sudden she realized, okay, this is, and so that was our, I then had to leave again. Yeah. 6 months later, I was back to propose to her.
Wow.
And, you know, at this point, like.
And you've been married for 20 years now?
Yeah. And so.
Great love story.
Yeah. I kept, we had two more years of separation.
Yeah.
Because there was my deployment. And then as soon as I got back from my deployment, which was a 9 month deployment, we were out with workup exercises and stuff. Then we had the war in Iraq. Yeah. So I didn't get to see her for another year.
Wow.
But after that, I moved to Ukraine. I stayed there and I lived for over a year and a half.
Wow.
And we got married and my son was born in Ukraine. And then I ended up applying to business school. And that was my transition. Because after I left the Marine Corps, I really didn't know what to do. I mean, the skills in the Marine Corps are blowing stuff up and kicking down doors.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, that skill set isn't in much demand in corporate America. So I went I went to the University of Texas and I picked up my MBA. And that's whenever I got exposed, I think, really to entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
And to possibilities that were out there.
Hook 'em horns.
Yeah.
How many years?
I was there in 2005 when we won the national championship.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a good year to be there.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. How many years were you in the military?
5 years.
Oh,
so 4 years, most officers serve that 4 years. I was stop lost for a year because of the war.
And is this war in Ukraine ever going to end?
I think war is part of human nature.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I mean, you look at brothers, you know, when they're young kids, they're fighting.
Yeah.
And the only thing that unites the people is an outside aggressor. So this war, unfortunately, is where you've got a man in a position that is able to make, I don't think democracies generally have wars with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have people in a very strong position, and I think this is also a warning to the United States, we need to be careful because you can always fall back. You know, Germany had an amazing democracy system back in, you know, 1925. So you, I think that it's a reminder that war is ever present. And, you know, we've had over 500,000 Russians that are dead in 2.5 years in this war.
Nuts.
That's, I mean, think about, we lost less people in World War II.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And, you know, that's like Civil War numbers for us. And Russia, it just seems to all be pushing that under the rug. Ukraine has probably lost, I think, a fifth of that. So probably close to 100,000. I mean, a friend of mine, she's right here in Wausau. Her brother was killed over there fighting. And it's just, it's horrible. And I think that if anyone wants to study something, I mean, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. And I look at, you know, how can we, we're very, I think, fortunate here in the United States. We have two weak neighbors that we don't have to worry about attacking us. And we have two oceans on both sides.
Right.
And the biggest threat I feel is
aliens.
You know, that and nuclear weapons, you know, I think it's been a long time since anyone's had to think about that, but it's just like, you know, that would be bad.
Well, so, we're all about peace and positivity here in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Right.
Antonio Centeno is the founder of Real Men, Real Style, RMRS. And you can find it on YouTube. It's got over 2,000 videos. And even if you're not a guy, I would recommend go and just learn about life from Antonio because he's a really positive guy, a force of nature, and he's got great energy. Antonio, before you leave, I'm curious about men's bracelets. I've noticed a lot of guys wearing bracelets these days. And Paul... is not, but today,
I sometimes do.
I have this one on. What's your opinion on bracelets these days? I've noticed it's a trend among men, right?
Yeah, it's probably about a 4,000, 5,000 year old trend that's been around.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're human, we're social creatures.
Yeah. Right.
And so whenever we see other men wearing bracelets, we want to imitate that. But we also see that with monkeys, where they put, there was a white feather, I think it was with this chimpanzee group. And there was a female, she put a white feather behind her ear.
Yeah.
And then everyone else started picking up these white feathers and putting them behind their ear. And I think it's just, recognition of tribe. I mean, that's what fashion is in a sense. And that's why it's kind of fun sometimes. But, you know, in a sense, I'm wearing a bracelet. It's a watch.
Right.
And it's been, you know, but it is one that has a time telling device.
What about earrings and that whole
jewelry
trend?
Generally.
Comes and goes, right?
Yeah. And it's always been used as an indicator of class.
Okay.
It's been used as an indicator. We go back to India. We go back to ancient Rome.
Right.
You know, there were certain colors that you were not allowed to wear because that was only certain, it was a division of class.
Yeah, the caste system.
Yeah, and not just the caste system, but also, you know, again, we just look at cultures in China. We look at like certain colors and there were just certain things that signaled, and it was a shortcut for people to be able to tell. So if somebody, if a woman sees a man with a bracelet or even a friend, another guy, it's like, oh, that guy has a little bit of style.
Yeah, right.
That's what we're quickly sending a signal, or he's paying attention to what's going on.
Same with tattoos.
Tattoos are a little bit more permanent, and I don't think they have as long of a history, but they have been around for, you know, thousands of years. And it is something that, yes, you can get them removed. I don't have a single tattoo. I did make it out of the Marine Corps without one.
Never put a bumper sticker on a Lamborghini.
My thoughts always are like, you know, if I'm going to get, you know, if I'm ever going to be wanted, you know, out there, I don't want anything for the police to
right.
be
able to say, yeah. Easy identifier.
Exactly.
That's great. Well, yeah, I always think of it as like bell bottoms in the 1970s. Would you wear a pair of bell bottoms if I had told you you had to wear those bell bottoms every day?
You can never take them off.
You can never take them off. This is like a tattoo, I feel like.
That's a risk.
Yeah, this has been a real pleasure. Hope you come back. And on the inside, there's an inscription on the inside of your box of the cologne that you sell here, and it says, honor your commitments and be courageous in the face of adversity. So thank you again for your service, Antonio Centeno from Real Men, Real Style. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, good to be here, guys.
Come on back.
Great guy, thanks. Do you realize
that happiness makes you cry? Do you realize that it
from the heart of downtown Wausau. This is the Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
Wausau Business Show.
At Reuter Ware, we challenge the notion that sophisticated legal practices only exist in major metropolitan areas. Our team chooses to live and work in communities where many people only vacation or pass through. We enjoy a quality of life and have an excellent work-life balance, while still practicing exciting, challenging law in Wausau, Eau Claire, Green Bay, and Wisconsin Rapids. Since 1920, we've been doing what we want and where we want to do it. Find us at reuterware.com.
Wausau Business Show.
The number one show for and about Wausau. Every Saturday morning, 8 to 9. And available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Alexa. Visit wausaubusiness.com for more details.
Never opened myself this way. Life is ours, we live it our way. Only these words I don't just say.
Fellow Wausonians from Wausau, Wisconsin, USA. This is the Wausau Business Show. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And a couple weeks ago, we did the August Kickbush celebration, Paul.
What a blast.
While on stage, we gave away caller number 9 tickets to Ben Folds Tuesday, October 8th at the Grand Theater in downtown Wausau. We said, caller number 9, just call us at 715-9-WAUSAU. Leave a message on our answer machine. We'll take the 9th caller to the voicemail.
So this caller called from the concert, the Brad Emanuel concert itself.
Yeah, a lot of Brad Emanuel going on in the background while she called. So we're going to call her up and let her know she was caller number 9. Let's do that right now. Here we go.
Hello?
Hi, is Christine available? This is Ryan and Paul calling from the Wausau Business Show.
Yes, this is D.
D, okay, now we got it.
You got a really good sense of humor. You've got me on the edge of my seat. Are you going to tell me I won something good?
Well, do you know what you won?
I don't remember.
Well, you were caller number 9 to win.
She's a brick and I'm drowning slowly. Off the coast and I'm headed my way. You know that one, D?
You broke in and out. Could you try again? I am so sorry.
She's a brick and I'm drowning slowly. Can you name that artist?
Sing it again.
She's a brick and I'm drowning slowly.
Great 90s band and beyond.
Oh my gosh. No, I don't know it.
Off the coast and I'm heading my way.
D, you won two tickets to the Grand Theater to see Ben Folds 5.
Congratulations, D!
Oh my gosh, I'm with the Central Wisconsin Fun and Adventure Group, and all of us were there, and I got there last minute, and I was dancing and having such a good time that...
Tuesday, October 8th at the Grand Theater in Wausau, downtown.
Oh, fantastic.
Did you have a good time at the August Kick Push event?
I had a blast. I'm new to Wausau.
Oh, well, welcome.
Awesome. Where did you move from?
I moved from the Wisconsin Rapids area.
Nice. Welcome to Wausau. Yeah, we got one. We got one. Plus one. Population in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA. Well, Dee, what's your favorite Wausau business show?
The Wausau Business Show.
All right.
Perfect. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Dee. We'll talk to you later. What did we learn on this week's episode, Paul?
Well, we learned a lot from Antonio. He had a lot to say. Maybe too much.
We learned that you can learn a lot about life from fashion.
Yeah, yeah. We learned that...
that deodorant is just playing defense.
That's right.
If you want offense...
you got to go with cologne.
Damn it. We also learned that you can have a positive impact around the world from right here in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Yeah.
Who's coming up on the show next week, Paul?
We have Matt Foss, director of the Leoki Woodson Art Museum, coming up next week.
That'll be a great interview.
Yeah.
The Leoki Woodson Art Museum is a nationally recognized art museum.
Right. My mom volunteered there.
A docent? I think that's what it's called when you volunteer. It'll be a great interview, and we're going to be going over there for it.
What a beautiful facility.
They just expanded it recently and added a rooftop that you can rent out and hang out on. So we're going to be going over there for the interview.
So cool.
The iconic Leoki Woodson Art Museum.
Looking forward to it.
And until then, from high atop Rib Mountain, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And this has been a Wausau Business Show transmission. The end!
Wausau Business Show Transmission. Live Reserve 2024.